Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Andy. I needed to let you know that we are coming down to the wire on RebateJet.com. What's RebateJet? It's a platform I created for you guys, the small to medium-sized sellers trying to compete against those big brands with those big budgets. Go now to RebateJet.com, sign up for that free seller account before it goes away this month. Now, why do you want to be a part of RebateJet? Just a few things. You can list promo codes for free. You can offer 3 rebates free per day. You can list your products and sell them directly to our customers on our website. We even have a free liquidation marketplace for you to unload products that didn't work out. We also have something else crazy in the works. You guys are going to love it. Go now, RebateJet.com. Now onto the show.
Welcome to the Seller Roundtable e-commerce coaching and business strategies with Andy Arnott and Amy Wiese.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Andy Arnott with
Amy Wiese.
And this is Seller Roundtable number 39. And we are very excited to have my friend Marco Tassiano on today. Thanks, Marco.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much for being here. We met, quite a few years ago now. It was kind of when I was first starting my Seller SEO journey. And he was kind of like Amy, where I would send him like kind of early versions of it. And he'd go, this is what you need to fix. Fix this. Do this. Make that better. So he was also a big part of that, especially our listing tool in the beginning there. And he and I would trade notes, and he's kind of like the SEO. He's Italian, so he's like the SEO godfather in Europe, you know. So thanks so much for being on today, Marco. It's been too long. You should have been one of the first.
Yeah.
I love it. And you know, we've trained up some good listing optimization nerds in our audience. So, you know, we should get some good questions and inquiries today, but we can always learn more. So we're just going to just suck all the good information out of Marco.
The CEO Goodfather is a very nice nickname. I will adopt it.
There we go. The godfather of SEO. I like it too.
Yeah, I will pay you some royalties.
Oh yeah, I was going to say, that was kind of a good one. I don't know. I kind of gave that, my branding worked too well on that one, I think. So Marco, tell us, and I know your story, which I love your story, because you've kind of been a jack of all trades, which is similar to like Amy and I and a lot of people in this business. You kind of went through a bunch of different life steps before you got to where you are today. So tell us where you're born, where you live now, kind of what you did in the past, college, school, just, you know, tell us about you.
Yeah, I spent most of my working life as a food export manager. I was a food broker. But since four years ago, I was working for a Canadian multinational company, but they ceased the activity in Europe, so I was unemployed. And when I was 54, 53 years old, now I'm 57, it's not easy to find a job here because there is a terrible crisis, contrary to United States. So I decided to study for a whole year. Fortunately, I had some savings. And I tried to become, let's say, an expert about something that could make me earning a living, a good living, and grant a service that nobody was giving in Italy. And I made some phone calls to my industries that I was working with as a broker, and they were telling me, we are all on Amazon, but we don't understand anything about Amazon. So when we list the products, we don't sell anything, but it's a cost because we have fixed cost, but we don't have any sales or very few sales. So what I did, the problem was that there was no books, there was nothing about the Amazon SEO. And I started watching webinars and trying to find out any good article from Kiri Master, from Andy, from people that could teach me something. And after 1 year, I opened my small agency here. I copied something that in America was not new, but in Italy was very new. After 6 months, I had 14 employees, because we were becoming a kind of satellite agency, Amazon SEO agency, for bigger agencies in Europe, which had a problem. Nobody was speaking Italian, mostly, because they were optimizing very well in English or in German. But Italian is quite a peculiar language. And so what they were doing, they were sending us pages upon pages And we started optimizing in Italian. Then we expanded our activity in Spanish and other languages. Because in Europe, contrary to the United States, we have five marketplaces. Amazon is split in five marketplaces: the UK, Germany, Spain, France, and Italy. And so now I'm still making mainly my main activity is the SEO, the listing optimization. And just a few minutes before starting the meeting, I was optimizing chewing gum.
Yeah, I remember early on it was fun because we would kind of compare notes get on the call. We need to start doing that again, Marco. That was fun.
We were exchanging tricks to make money.
Yeah, everybody is. It's getting harder and harder. We've been talking about that a lot in our groups and stuff, Amy and I. The game is changing, and we knew this was coming. But what was surprising to me is that it came so quickly. You know, I mean, we can look at our sales on our account and see kind of exactly where it took place. And it was a huge, huge change. So it's pretty interesting. You know, you can definitely see Amazon's, going more into pay to play. You know, it's all about advertising now. Much bigger brands are now coming on to Amazon. Amazon's pushing their own brand. So as a third party seller, I mean, it's getting harder. You're going to have to take some bigger punches, coming. I see it getting even worse in the next year. So it's getting harder. And I hate to say that because I'm always still bullish on Amazon, but I'm finally saying that it is going to start being really hard to get into the Amazon game. I do still think though, and Marco, let me know if you agree with this, is that the opportunity is still in Europe and in the new marketplaces.
I fully agree because even if Amazon is very famous not to disclose their figures, their numbers, I think that we reached the point about 1 year ago that we reached something like 6 million sellers around the world. And the 6 million sellers, just to give you an idea, by 40 euro or dollars per month, they were collecting $240 million just to have sellers selling something. Okay, but since then, I think they decided to cut most of the people that was not selling, let's say, enough for them. So it's kind of, we want to have something to do just with people that are selling a lot. And everybody else, or if they are too small for us, or, troublemakers, bye-bye. It was a silent revolution. Of course, they will never disclose this clearly to the world, but this is what happens. And I agree with you that they are pushing a lot their own private labels.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see because I normally don't share my politics, but I'm a libertarian. I'm one of those people who's like live and let live. When it comes to government, but in this case, sounds like we have somebody who's wanting to be on the podcast. no worries though. Let's fix that. So what I was going to say, though, is that in this case, I think it's going to be really hard for the U.S. government to not step in because I feel like Amazon's playing both sides of the coin. They're trying to say, hey, you can't regulate us. We're a marketplace. But they're not acting like a marketplace when they give themselves and some of the larger sellers, things like that, kind of an unfair advantage. So it's going to be interesting to see if the U.S. government follows suit to where, places like India, where they say, hey, if you have a marketplace, you can't sell your own products on that marketplace. I don't know if we need to go that far. That seems a little unfair to not have Amazon have its own products. But I think what we need is a fair, setup where Amazon can only advertise in the same way that the third party sellers have access to, So in other words, if they're saying, hey, this is a recommended, product, then we should be able to have access to that, that recommended space. In other words, that ad space, if Amazon does as well. So I think that's, that's going to be a really interesting, we're going to watch that play out, I think, in the next, 6 months to a year to election time. I know that's, on the especially on the Democratic side, but I think on the Republican side too, that's a lot of these lawmakers are starting to step in and say, hey, you guys got to play fair. And it's true across the board on a lot of these technology companies. So it is going to be a very interesting next few years, I think, on that front.
Yeah, in a sense, they have a problem. A problem is that they are big, but they are still growing quite fast, and they are becoming too powerful for the small sellers. I mean, on the in front of the small sellers, this is a problem. For example, couple of days ago, I was optimizing for a famous brand, Italian brand of bras, woman bras, and I found out that most of the headline ads were private labeled by Amazon brands. So in a sense is, okay, I optimize a page for you, but I in the same listing, I found the fierce competition from Amazon. So it's difficult for industries to compete with an Amazon Basics or any other Amazon brand. Too difficult. If they decided to make a competition to sellers, I mean.
Yeah, absolutely. So we got a quick question from Andy. He's asking, do you think that there will be a purge of third-party sellers in the U.S. for those not selling a certain dollar figure, or maybe natural attrition if they make it very hard to sell on Amazon? Andy, I think it's going to be the latter. I think it's just going to be really, really hard for third-party sellers who are not in the million-dollar. Actually, I think I posted an article on LinkedIn about this about a year ago that said if you weren't hitting the million mark by this year, that you were going to have a really, really hard time, getting into Amazon and being successful on Amazon. So I think that's going to be kind of the mark. And I even think, people in the seven-figure mark are still, that's going to be kind of, I think, the bottom of who's going to have success on Amazon. Because of the pay-to-play atmosphere that's we're starting to see.
Yeah, but the problem for a beginner is the cash flow. I mean, how can I become, even if I know everything about Amazon and I want to enter this arena, how can I become a seven-figure seller if I start now? It's almost impossible, I think, because it's even a matter of cash flow, not only about professional skills.
Yeah, absolutely, and especially if you're in any type of, commodity products, that's going to be even harder, especially I always use the example of like Energizer batteries, Amazon has Amazon Basics batteries now. And if you search Energizer batteries, I think it's Energizer. You can try it on Amazon right now. It used to do this. I don't know if they're still doing this, but it would say like the first result above everything, it would say, hey, try Amazon Basics AA batteries. I mean, if I was Energizer, I guess it's hard because on one token, that's where the shoppers are going is to Amazon. But on the other side, a major brand like that, it's a hard pill to swallow when you know that Amazon is a competitor and they're giving themselves an advantage over you on their own platform. So I think that's going to be a really interesting, thing playing out over the next few years. So Marco, how did you get into we kind of got your backstory, but how did you get into writing listings? How did you decide that that was going to be your next path? Did you just enjoy it or?
No, I enjoy, but because there are two reasons why I like this job. The first one is because I like to make researches. Sometimes I optimize items that I never heard before. Okay. And secondly, because I think that the sellers are paying me, but I feel, useful in a sense to them, because think about last week I was optimizing for a company making wooden tables. It's an industry making wooden tables from Tuscany. They have nice items, but they have something like 3,000 items on Amazon in Europe, but they were not selling at all, almost at all. I take a look, they were publishing one picture, very poor bullet points and so on. We started optimizing, and after a while, after let's say 10 days, 15 days, once A9 did start to digest my new listing, they called me, Marco. So they were so happy, excited. Probably I didn't change their lives, but think about a small industry in the middle of Tuscany making an excellent item, but a range of items, but they were not selling. They were quite frustrated. So this is the best part of my job. Feel useful, besides, of course, the money that I can get from my listing. Yes, I'm still enjoying, yes.
Absolutely. Awesome. So When you're talking about, you know, Amazon sellers, when it comes to their, you know, writing a good listing and getting organic sales, what do you think is like the biggest roadblock? In other words, like, you know, Amy and I always joke over and over again that we see the same stuff when it comes to clients when we're working with, when it comes to PPC, writing listings, things like that. What do you see as the biggest mistake for the clients that you bring on?
The biggest mistakes, the biggest mistake, the number one mistake is when a seller does not give enough importance to photos, to the picture, to the images. Because at the end of the story, okay, my listing can be very nice. I can be a very good copywriter and so on. I can search the best keywords in the world, try to match the best search terms that customers are using. But at the end of the story, when customers are deciding to buy on Amazon, it's a visual decision. They buy by eyes. Of course, when they read my bullet points or a very interesting product description, if I have a good ideas about the product. But if they miss the point and they try to save money in the photos, in the imaging, then they don't sell, or they don't sell, they sell much less than you. And this is the point, because usually when I go to meet a new customer, or they come, or we have a conference call, they tell me, Marco, I can pick up some photos from my catalog, and then I take a look on their catalog, it is updated, or they are standard pictures. On the contrary, people that is clever enough to spend some money on the listing, but some money given to a good professional photographer, this money is coming back quite soon, because, you know, pictures are selling more than text. This is what I thinking after 4 years, every day I am facing the same problems. And I've spoken with hundreds of sellers now. So this is the point. Invest money on outstanding pictures.
Yeah, that's a great point, Marco. Yeah, there's so many people who don't, I mean, Amy and I always, you know, rail on this point, but, you know, everybody sees that, doesn't spend enough time on their Amazon listing. And it's absolutely the most important thing, because everything, you know, everything comes off of that listing. So, you know, PPC, you know, conversions, everything, absolutely everything. So if you have a crappy listing, there's no way that you're ever going to be successful on Amazon.
Impossible.
Absolutely.
You can sell something if we are back to year 2009, 2007 at the very beginning, but it looks like one century ago. Now with a crappy listing, you don't do anything. Impossible.
Yeah, and I completely agree with you, Marco, about the photos. People just do not, when you look at, really the only thing people see in search results is your main photo and your title. And if you're not doing a good job of communicating and getting them to click, you know, that's the equivalent of walking through a store and getting them to pick up your product off the shelf because the packaging is beautiful, right? Or the design of the product is beautiful sitting there. Really, you know, you have to do a good job of your main photo to get them to click, and your title needs to call out something special about it besides your main keywords, right? Call out what your unique is, why they should buy your product over your competitors. That should show up in the first part of your title. You want to just call them in, right? But I completely agree with you. Once they get there, most people don't read the listing. They don't read the listing for the most part. They'll kind of browse over it, but they look at those photos, and that's the first thing they do. They look at the photos, and if their questions are not answered, if you have not sold them by the time they get to the end of your photos, they're moving on.
Yeah, correct. There is a big difference between United States and Italy, let's say Europe in general. Your sellers are more advanced than ours. I mean, for example, when I talk to a US seller, they perfectly know what it is. When I tell them, put a couple of action photos, then they immediately realize. In Italy, I still have to talk about what an action photo is. And this is the point. I mean, we are, let's say, some years backwards compared with the American sellers.
Yeah. All right. So we got a couple more questions. So Shay's asking, is there no hope for third-party sellers that are not making seven figures? Shay, I don't want to say that at all. I still think that there's huge opportunity on Amazon. I just think that that the you know, in the past, even when I started in 2012, you know, and even lately, you know, there's a lot of people that just luck out. They put a product up and then they get success on Amazon. I think that it's going to be a lot harder to see that equation. I think it's going to be, you're going to have to be much more deliberate. You're going to have to put in a much, a lot more time learning all the different facets of the Amazon business. There's so many people that come into Amazon, you know, that think it's like this get rich quick thing, and they don't realize it's a grind. I mean, even in my own business, I mean, there's ups and downs, and there's, you know, there's trials and tribulations. And, you know, I've been in this for, what is it now? 7 years, going on 7 years, but I am still learning constantly. I mean, to this day, I still watch other people who are doing Amazon podcasts. I still watch other people who are doing, you know, marketing, ClickFunnels, Facebook advertising. I mean, pretty much whatever I can learn to help my business, that's what I do. And I think that unless you are perpetually learning and in it for the long run, I can't remember the study or the quote or who came up with this, but the equivalent of 10 man hours, like 10 years of man hours, is the equivalent of mastering your trade. So if you look at it that way, I'm still would not be considered a master at selling on Amazon. Now, I've been doing internet businesses since I was 19 years old. So I think a lot of that translates over into what I'm doing at Amazon. So I think mastery in that sense might've already occurred because I have so much cross,
pollination.
Thank you.
between multiple businesses. Yeah,
exactly. And multiple trades and the way that, you know, to conduct an online business. But my point here is that there's no more easy get rich quick on Amazon that's going to happen moving forward. You're going to really have to dig your heels in. You're going to have to be in it for the long run. You're going to have to have a lot of grit and you're going to have to be constantly learning.
And that's really the same for any business. I mean, look at, you know, people, some people are saying, oh, it's all online now. Retail is dead. But that's not true at all. But you look at the retailers that have shut down, and why have they shut down? You start to look at the reasons why those retailers failed, and it's because they didn't change with the times. It's because they let their competitors take over their space. They let other things kind of, they got complacent. And we all have to do that. If we're going to sell products in retail, we need to know what our competitors look like. We need to know who our customer is and how to market to them. And we need to think of Amazon as a sales channel and not as our business, because it's not our business. It's a place where we sell products. And what you're going to find if you actually study your total addressable market is that Amazon will reach a tiny portion of your total addressable market. And you can look at how to reach the rest of that market through other channels, through increased marketing. And the brands that pay attention to that, where their customers are hanging out and how to reach them, are those brands that are going to be successful no matter what. And they're going to be successful on Amazon. What I've noticed is, the brands that are still doing very well organically on Amazon are those that, and products that are still doing very well organically with all these latest changes, is those that are, number one, very deep in a niche. So there's not a ton, you know, they're not trying to get to the top of like bath towels, right? And then, the second thing that I've noticed is those brands that have a lot of external traffic, a lot of stuff that is nailed down outside of Amazon, they're unaffected, because they don't rely on Amazon for everything.
Yeah, the keyword there that Amy tagged in multiple facets there is diversity. You know, you want to be diversified when it comes to your business, whether it's, you know, sales channels, whether it's advertising. You know, if you're just advertising on Amazon PPC, you're missing a lot of the game. A lot of people have been reaching out and asking, you know, kind of what should I do now that this change on Amazon has happened? Exactly to what Amy was saying, are some of our best selling products that are still doing well are the ones that we're driving external traffic to. So what we are starting to do now is spin up external traffic for all, you know, as much of our catalog as we can. Now, we're one of those, you know, we have 800 SKUs. So for us, we're doing 80-20 because we can't get to all of those But you know, that's what we're really going to focus on, especially going into Q4, because there's so many other sellers who are not going to do that right now. Sellers are throwing their hands up going, "Oh, I can't compete on PPC. I'm out," you know, but what they don't realize is that there's so many other channels that they could be going to, and let the other sellers battle on PPC while you guys diversify and drive traffic from external sources. And then that's where you're going to win.
And we're going to be talking about this right after this podcast. We're going to go live and we're going to talk about all these things. So bringing it back to listing optimization and to Marco, what do you think about some of the things that you can do with listing optimization that also go beyond Amazon?
Good question. Look, usually I still have my, I'm let's say traditional in my thinking, but I still think that what I'm doing when I started, let's say, to optimize is, okay, first point first is pictures. As I said, I love pictures, let's say. But second of all is, as you said, are titles. But why? Because title is one of the few things that people reads. Well, I put a lot of attention on title, trying to not to stuff too many keywords, but to make people understand right away what it is, what the product is. And then yes, a good product description about 2,000 characters, but more attention I put on the building of bullet points. Not only what I write, but how I rank them. I rank them by importance. For if I think something is more important, bullet point number one, and so and so. And now, what I'm doing, I'm kindly pushing customers, all customers, to have good EBC content. Why? Because it is not ranked by Amazon, but it's ranked by Google. And in any case, it is again, most of EBC is visual, are pictures, let's say, once again. So if you note a listing without a EBC and a listing with EBC is totally different because it's much more attractive. And this is, let's say, my guidelines when they ask me, even if I don't list, they list by themselves. I tell them, take a lot of attention on these points. It can be very easy if you understand. It can be very difficult if you don't want to do it or if you don't want to invest, but do it.
Yeah, you made some great points there, Marco. And I think that EBC, which I think they're calling A+ content now, it's so hard to keep up.
Yeah.
They change things so quickly. But I think, you know, we're in the game now where the sellers who take the most time and are the most detailed are really going to be the ones who succeed. If you've got a listing up and you have access to A+ content and you're not utilizing it, you're leaving money on the table because that's going to increase your conversion rate. I think the Amazon stat was A+ content increases conversion by 5%. So that's not massive, but that's something, and that, you know, that can compound. So you know, definitely something to think about when you're writing that listing. The other cool thing about the A+ content is being able to do, I love doing infographics. You can explain, you can do like almost like a little instruction manual on that page. So people understand right away, oh, this is what this product does. This is how it works. You know, so after they've gotten through, you know, the kind of the bullet points in the title, it's kind of the overview, then they can go down and see how the product maybe actually works. If you're including video now and things like that, you know, even better. I mean, if you can do a demo video of your product, right on the product page, which Amazon allows now, that's epic. That shows people exactly how the product works. If you could do lifestyle videos, you know, all those kinds of little additions that you can do on that listing is going to make a huge difference when it comes to converting. The other thing that Amy and I always, you know, rail you guys on about is the back end, filling up the back end. You know, if there's any, you know, like if you're doing t-shirt sizes, you know, what's the material? You know, if it has stitches, you know, any of the things in that back end there that people might search for, if you've got that included, you have a better chance of showing up in the search results, because Amazon will take those results. And when you click on those little filters on the left side of the screen, if you don't have those data points filled out, your product is going to get filtered out. So you guys really need to remember to use those fields. So, no, Marco, go ahead.
Sorry, one point that can be useful for our audience is that another key point that is very useful is when I use an application and I download a good number of reviews prior to beginning my optimization. Because from the reviews, I download 200-300 reviews from one item, and then what I do, I put them in a duplicate remover, and I quickly understand what are the most used keywords from other buyers. And this is extremely important when I start making, especially the bullet points. And this is a very, very simple procedure. There are some apps which are available on Chrome, some extension of Chrome that allows you to make a bulk download of reviews. And once you put in an Excel file, you quickly read them, and you put it in a duplicate remover, then it's very easy to understand from A to Z what people says, because this is what makes me very easy to build up the bullet points, for example, or a product description. Think about what customers are looking for when they see a product. They have a kind of a vocabulary. They use about the same words. They are repeated. They are repeated several times in the reviews. And from that, 99% of my work is done. Seems to be impossible, but it's simple. It's like this.
Yeah, Margo, that's a great point. That's kind of when we built our listing lightning tool, you know, that's part of our algorithm is looking at other competitors automatically, and then ranking by relevance and you know, a bunch of other factors, you know, building that shortcut in.
Thanks for tuning in. Join us every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for live Q&A and bonus content after the recording at sellerroundtable.com. Sponsored by the ultimate software tool for Amazon sales and growth, SellerSEO.com and AmazingAtHome.com.